Not to put you on the spot, but it's all on you, Jimmy.
It's all on me. Oh man. I guess we could do. Did we do the Pulp Fiction line?
I don't think so.
It's like my favorite line, man.
If we did,
are we cool? Are we cool? We're gonna be a bunch of Fonzies. You know why? Because Fonzie's cool. Correctamundo. My favorite line in a fucking movie. Love that.
This is Petey Pidge.
I am Mike.
J Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
We have a special guest today. Please, sir, introduce yourself.
What's up, man? This is Mike Voss, hip-hop artist out of Philly. I appreciate you for having me on, Jimmy.
No worries. We got Petey.
Yes, I'm here today.
He's not doing his absentee thing. It's great.
Oh, my God. Fucking, like, all the things converge at once, and then, like, then I get a break, and then all the shit converges. It's a fucking, it's insane.
Don't worry. Whenever you're not here for guests, we're just, like, off air. We're just like, listen, he was supposed to be here, but he found out you were going to be on, and he was like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, we're like, listen, we're really good dudes, but Pete's a fucking asshole, and he just fucking, he hates you so much.
He just goes below me and fucking passes. But of course, for Mr. Voss, he's here tonight.
Oh, I wouldn't miss this for the fucking world, man. No way.
Pete's been listening for a while because I've been pushing Voss for a long time. Here's a funny thing, though. I wanted to tell you. We were looking for your old stuff. The stuff that I know the best. And I couldn't find it anywhere to show these guys. I had to pull out my iPod.
Oh, yeah. I wiped all that stuff, man.
Yeah.
I can't even. A lot of that stuff, I can't even listen to it anymore.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. I appreciate that people still like it. But, like, I just. Yeah. It, like, makes me cringe, honestly.
Yeah. I've been spinning it for a long time. And I was telling Mike. I was like, dude, I was like, you got to hear this one song. It's David Beckham. That's the one I was talking about. And I was like, I've got to find a video. It's such a fucking hilarious video. And I couldn't find it. I'm like, God damn it.
I did take that video. I took like everything before like 2016, pretty much.
So what have you been up to since? I mean, we went to Westchester together and we had a poetry class.
Yeah, we did.
That crazy teacher that got hit in the head with a hammer.
During class?
No, what was his name? I don't remember his name.
Lee, Dr. Lee.
Dr. Lee, of course, because he was, yeah. I should have known.
He was off, though. He was definitely off. He's a nice guy.
He was a good dude. He got attacked in on a train or in a subway, and somebody hit him in the head with a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. We were like, he acted like when we found the story out, he acted like it wasn't a big thing. Like, he did a poem about it in class, and we're like, wait, you got hit in the head with a fucking hammer? And he's like,
I feel like he's he's killed before. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he was like, yeah, when you make enemies with the hammer gang, like, what the fuck do you expect's gonna happen?
Like, it's like fucking Kung Fu Hustle. A bunch of dudes in fucking 1890s garb have fucking hammers on the train and they're just throwing them at him.
Yeah, man.
I'm still nursing a stubbed toe from like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so, all right, well, okay, cool. So I have vintage stuff. I got classic. Anybody that wants some classic Voss, I'll talk to you for a price.
Jimmy's going to bootleg mixtape style, CDRs.
Good luck with that.
So
I hope both the people who buy it enjoy it.
Wait, I wanted to ask Voss, like, real quick, before we move on, was that like a personal decision? Was that a studio decision? It was just a combination of both, like, to just kind of, like, move on and look to the future? Like, was that the decision for that?
Yeah, it was definitely personal.
Gotcha.
When I decided to do that, I don't have management right now, but I did at the time, and they agreed, but it was my idea. I was just like, I don't even, like, hate that stuff. I just, like, feel I've gotten a lot better, and I've just become more of a serious artist, and that stuff is, I'm not embarrassed about it. I'm glad I made it. The video shoot especially was fun.
Fucking funny video.
But it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I just feel like it just didn't match the direction I was headed. But.
Yeah.
No, that's totally fair. And I feel like, you know, now, I mean, nowadays, like, people, like, you know, someone starts to get popular, like, starts to break out, or, you know, people are like, oh, you should check this guy out. And then, like, they start to check everything. Like, you know, right. even shit you might have posted when you were like 15, 16 years old, just goofing around on the internet, you know.
That's so, how people get canceled now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, I think I'm good on that front.
Or like fucking Bo Burnham, like he fucking puts himself up there on screen when he was just a weird, goofy teenager. Like, look, I'm an idiot. Like, he does shit like that. But yeah, no,
that works for him. That works. Yeah. For him. Like, Bo Burnham is a genius, in my opinion. But it works for him. You know, he can. It's his old material, which is how I first heard of Bo Burnham when I was in college. Actually, my old roommate put me on to him, and same. I feel like my old roommate showed me Bo Burnham in college, and he's like, he's a guy who, when you look at his old stuff, it doesn't like. He's stayed kind of consistent. Like, he's grown, but it's like still, you know what I mean? I feel like it's not harmful to his, I don't like using the word image, but that's, I guess I'll just say that.
You know? No, I totally agree with you. That makes sense. Like, he's definitely, you're right. The consistency is definitely there, and he's been able to kind of like use it to his advantage, which, you're right, is a genius fucking move. Rather than changing like so many artists do, like you look at like, any band or major artist, like they change their sound changes, like the fucking Beatles, Madonna, Metallica, like they change into something different. He's been able to kind of do the consistency thing, and like, you're right, it works.
The comedic space, I think, lends itself more to consistency. Like, it's a good thing in comedy, you know what I mean?
Which brings us to, because this was one of the comments that Mike said about that Mike over here said, not Mike, you, the He said, you said it was consistency in the album, right?
Yeah, listening. So I was listening to your album today, actually, your most recent release. And what I liked about it, everything right now is so focused on singles because of the way streaming platforms are set up, the way the algorithm works. Singles are obviously the thing you have to focus on. But when you listen to it as an album as a whole, there's still a consistency and a cohesion to it sonically, which you don't get a lot when artists are just focused on singles.
Wow, thanks, man. Yeah, that was definitely intentional. For people listening, the album's called Ain't Nobody's Hero. I dropped it in April. Yeah, I appreciate that, man. That was an intentional decision. I definitely wrote this as a project. Like, I know singles, like you said, is like, that's the smart move. Like, I mean, because it is like that, but I just genuinely don't give a fuck. I was like, this is what I want to do. You know, that this is where I'm at right now. And I was working with one producer. The whole album is one producer. So it was just, I think that adds to the cohesion. But when we like linked up together and he made the beats, I'm glad you said that, because that's what we're going for. The songs can work on shuffle and you can hear them separately and it works. But it's also like, when you hear it is in one sitting, or, you know, you're driving somewhere, it's like 45 minutes. If you're driving somewhere or whatever you're doing, it works as a unit, like as a whole project. That was intentional. So I appreciate that.
And how did that come about, working with one producer on this? Is that how you prefer to work, or is this just the way it worked out for this project?
So I've done it before, like a project with one producer, and it's, I do like it, because it's like, I like both, but the downside of doing a project where I'm like working with multiple producers is like waiting on people. You know what I mean? And usually their reasons are legit, but it's just like, there's more moving parts. So it's like, when I'm working with one producer, it's a lot more streamlined, and I feel like we get more shit done and in a quicker time. And like this kid, his name's Duvek. He's from South Jersey. We knew each other, but not like that well. But he hit me up on Instagram and was just like, he slid in my DMs and was just like, hey man, I want to do a project with you, pretty much. Just said that. And I was like, send me some beats. He did. I like his sound. It's like diverse, but it's still like got a signature style to it. It's diverse, but it's still like, it just worked with what I wanted to do. It just was organic. And we've become good friends since. Obviously, when you work on that much fucking music together, you know, you gotta like each other, I feel like, for it to really work. I would say overall I like working with one producer, but I can do the like different producers. I'm fortunate enough to know so many dope producers, you know. Back when I was when Jimmy knew me in like college and shit, I was like, you know, ripping off beats from YouTube a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like, it's because I didn't, you know what I mean? No one knew who I was. I didn't really have connections like that.
But yeah, you were producing from the dorm rooms too. So it was like, it's not like
Jesus. Yeah. How far I've come, I feel, honestly. Like we used to like insulate the closets in the dorm room, and literally that's not an exaggeration. Yeah.
You know, I gotta tell you this, and I'm not to get all mushy and shit, but like when I saw you on BET when you were killing the freestyle, dude, I was so fucking proud. I told everyone that I know that I knew you. I was like, yo, that dude right there, I sat next to him in fucking class, bro. And we dude, he's great.
Our teacher got hit in the head with a hammer.
He did it. He hit her with the
I got so excited I just fucking clubbed him, man.
That's all, fucking, man. I appreciate that.
That's how fucking badass this dude is. He fucking hit the teacher with a hammer and he can freestyle. Fucking there he goes.
And then he rapped about it after he hit him.
Yeah.
That was the beat for the song, which is you beat the teacher with the hammer.
Addled him while he was on the ground. It was yeah. I mean, thank you, man. That was a crazy time in my life.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I just fucking from my hometown. Like we lived walking distance from each other because we went to the same high school and shit. I was like, this is fucking crazy.
Did we go to high school, bro?
We went to Truman. You went to Truman.
Oh yes.
We didn't graduate the same year. You might have known my sister Stacy.
Yeah, no, we talked about this.
Yeah, yeah. Because she was, I think, a year older than you or a year younger than you.
Right.
And that's what I said. And I was like, and we went to Westchester and we had class together. And that was what I was telling them. I was like, you and that girl, Sabrina, was that her name? Selena.
Selena. Yeah.
Yeah. She used to do slam poetry. And I did a song where I did a poem where I only used Tribe Called Quest lyrics. And Voss.
Yeah, I remember that.
Voss and her were the only two that got the song, and everyone's criticizing me like it's poetry. And all three of us are just like, they don't fucking get it at all. They don't get.
You know, I still see Selena around in Philly. She's still doing her thing. She has a new, like, she goes by Caged Bird now, but she does a lot of like singing stuff, and she's really good. She got better. Yeah.
Good for her. Maybe I'll reach out to her and see if
It's worth a shot. She's a cool person. And her music, I'm telling you, her music and her videos got like leveled up a lot.
Nice.
She's cool.
Yeah. But once I saw you on there, I was like, holy shit, dude. He's fucking beating people. The Donkey Kong line was my favorite line for years, dude. Throw barrels. I was like, yo, what a fucking great line, dude.
Throw the barrel at him like Donkey Kong. Yeah, that battle was the reason BET saw that battle, the guy from BET, and found my email, and that's how I found out about, like, that's how I got invited to the tryout, was after he saw that battle you're referencing.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, and then the rest, you know. That was a crazy time. I don't want to age myself too much, but yeah, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it, dude. I'm like, fuck, I'm remembering songs that I had on an album. I looked at the album, I'm like, shit, this is 10 years old, this album.
Right.
So as somebody who's been doing this for a while, you've seen kind of the way the industry has moved away from physical products towards streaming, of course, as we kind of touched on a little bit. What's your preference? Do you like that, or do you wish it was still physical media and people were buying a CD and listening to it?
It's a great question. Surprisingly, no one's ever asked me that. They both have pros and cons. Obviously, my heart, like the nostalgia, my soul wants physicals to come back, because when I like my first real album I ever made, we pressed up a bunch of physicals for that. And I loved having it like in my hands, you know, just like looking at it, the artwork. We had some of the lyrics in there and like the credits and just having it to look at, you know what I mean? Like, cause I am, you know, I'm a millennial instead of Gen Z, I guess. So like, I remember that era, like when you're a kid and you're unwrapping a CD you bought from fucking wherever, FYE or whatever, and you're just excited about it. And I miss that feeling. So I do want that, but there's no, it's not coming back. The fact, that's the facts. You know what I mean? Like vinyls, like, you know, people like vinyl, but vinyl's expensive as fuck to make. So it's like the streaming is definitely cheaper. It's easier to release music and stuff, but I do feel as though it cheapens it. I feel like it makes it more like fast food. Like, I feel like it's more, it's like processed. And because it's so easy to release music now, that's why there's so much dog shit. Because it's just like oversaturated because of the ease now. Like, when you had to put a physical together as an indie artist, it was a lot more effort, but I like that shit. You know, but I don't like, also on the other hand, I know I'm long-winded, but on the other hand, I just, there's no point in being like, what's that meme? Old man yells at cloud. Like, I'm not like the Simpsons, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be complaining about some shit that's, you know, I'd rather adapt. But I do like, I do miss the physicals, man. I do. But
that's very much I feel like where we all are too, is because, you know, we all three of us collect vinyl. And, you know, yeah. I had shitloads of CDs when I used to go to Best Buy every Friday and buy fucking,
yeah, me too,
new releases, dude. It was great. Like, I would just pop them in.
I had a job fucking bagging groceries, and I would just, and selling weed, and I would just,
and then, is that your official title?
Yeah. The vegetable. I just a lot of greens, but I just I used all that money for CDs, pretty much. Occasionally Snickers, but yeah, I would go every single new music Friday. I would go to Best Buy and buy something. Yeah, seriously.
I discovered so many bands that way, just picking CDs. Like, I'll tell you the three that still stick out in my mind: Godsmack, Slipknot, and Static X. I just went and bought those, their first albums. I had no idea who they were. I'd never heard them, and I just bought them. And I was like, "Damn, this is all good shit."
I remember the artwork on that first Godsmack album was crazy. That's with the girl's face, right?
Yep.
Yeah, with the piercings and the tattoos and shit. It was so cool.
It's iconic artwork.
Yeah.
That one, and the Static X had the dude that looked like Static burnt into the fucking,
yeah,
the recess burning. That's the other thing you miss too with the physical copies. All that artwork is just so fucking cool.
You can get more artwork too. Yeah, like when you do streaming, it's just the front cover, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe people will drop like a track list. Like, I like doing track list art, so I'll drop that on like my Instagram or something. But when you're on like Spotify or whatever, Apple Music, all you see is that one cover. When you got a physical, you could, a lot of times they were booklets or like a folded out instrument. So it's like there's more art you could potentially have in there.
Yo, there's a band that I love. The band's called Reggie and the Full Effect. It's the drummer from the Get Up Kids, and the dude also played keyboard for My Chemical Romance. He put out an album called Under the Tray. And when you bought this fucking CD, you opened it up and there wasn't a CD in the CD case. And you're like, what the fuck? You had to pop the fucking bottom part out, and that's where the CD was. It was under the tray. And I'm like, dude, that's fucking genius. Like, yeah, you had to find the CD in order to get the CD to listen to it. And I just, that's one of the things that I remember that like physical media could give you that like just streaming can't.
Yeah. Exactly. A unique thing, like experience like that. It just adds another, it makes their, I've heard of that band. I'm not like super familiar, but I haven't heard of them. And they, I feel like, would it be safe to say they have kind of like a niche-ish like cult following type thing?
Yeah.
See, and that's the perfect type of shit that a cult following eats up. You know what I mean? Because it is different. It sets you apart. You know what I mean? And I miss that aspect of physicals. Like, just even just the lyrics, having like the physical lyrics, like as a rap kid, like a lot of the shit I would buy, you know, I would be disappointed if there weren't lyrics in there.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be literal like booklets. And one of my dreams was like when I got, you know, bigger and got enough, you know, money behind me, I wanted to have a lyric booklet. But then when my first album dropped, we like, it's mad expensive to get one of those made. So we were just like, yeah, we're just going to do like a 3-panel insert. But yeah, it's,
I feel like
that. It's kind of sad when I think about it.
I feel like too, but I feel like too also, I mean, there's ways you can, like you said, you can adapt. So like,
yeah,
in the same vein, like when you release an album, make a digital video game where it's like a Scooby-Doo mystery and you're Scooby-Doo and you have to like solve the puzzle to get to the song, right? Get to the song. And then, I mean, you can also just independently book publish a book of your lyrics after you get three albums and just do, you know, that's probably way cheaper than just
that's,
making an actual
that booklet. That's crossed my mind, doing some kind of like lyric collection book. Yeah. Just because, like you said, it's different. You know what I mean? It's something different. I feel like it caters to more of a my main base of supporters. I feel like it's like special. It's different. You know?
Yeah. And then you can have something in your hand while you're listening. Even if it's streaming, you can be like,
yeah,
check it out. I
put and have multiple releases in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
See, it's this is what I do, man.
I'll kick you 15%.
No worries. You haven't been on BET. It's just more than enough for me. I'll ride that forever. But I agree. So what kind of cool shit are you up to now that you released the album? What's coming next? Are you gonna pop a video off or nothing, or what's going on?
Yeah. So we dropped the first video for a song called Nowhere to Go. It's on my YouTube. There's like clips of it on my Instagram at Who Is Mike Voss for anyone that wants it. And it's just it's a pretty wild video. It's short. We only did like half the record and cut it, but it's kind of a preview. But I'm working on like four or five more visuals.
What was the WWF song?
Oh man, that's
I love that video too.
That came out. That was fun as hell. That song's called excuse me. That song's called Know Your Role.
Yeah. I was like, yo, there he is.
I'm a big Attitude Era guy, you know. So like I was like, I want to do something that's some kind of an homage. That's my favorite version of The Rock, you know. Yep. So yeah, we did that that video at a wrestling gym in Jersey. Yeah. That's called Know Your Role. It's on the highway list. In 2021, I put out three projects in 1 year. So like it was called the highway list, like a playlist, but each one was a different lane of the highway. So it was like a fast lane was more fast paced songs, like that song Know Your Role was on it. And then like the middle lane was like more targeted towards the ladies. Cause I do like, you know, making like, you know, sexy R&B type shit sometimes, you know? So I like doing that. And then like, the right lane was more of like lyrical hip hop, like boom bap and like, really like more deeper content. So I was like, I always make music that fits into any of these categories. Like no matter, it depends how I'm feeling. But then I was like, man, let me make that the premise of this project. So that song, Know Your Role, is on the left lane. All three of those are out streaming. They're all only seven songs each, so I kept it short. But yeah, that's Know Your Role is basically me. If anyone hasn't seen the video, it's basically just me acting like The Rock while I'm rapping. I have like a ridiculous shirt on.
You did a wonderful job, dude. I was totally like, this dude, I literally was like, this dude gets it right here.
Yeah, man. And the guy that like fake interviewed me is fucking hilarious. His name's Sheik Bey. He's a rapper, but he also does this like white face character. God damn it, what the fuck is his name? I forget, but he's so funny, dude. But yeah, thanks for I didn't know you saw that.
That was
2021.
You did just release an album, but is there anybody that you haven't worked with yet that you're looking forward to working with on a future project?
I don't with like features, I don't really I don't look at like bigger artists and ever think like, oh, I really want to do a song with them. I might think something like, oh, if I get to that level, it would be cool to do a song with them. But I'm never like, I have to get this big, because all the features I have, it's like real friend, like people I'm friends with in real life. Like it's mostly it's all people I know. And it's never been like a business transaction. A lot of times in music, you know, it's like a business transaction for a feature. It's X amount of dollars. They do the feature, usually not in the same studio or anything. And there's, I don't know. I'm not really into that. There's like local, like artists around here that I haven't worked with yet, like in the Philly area that I would, you know, I was just at a studio session today with a bunch of dope artists, but it's just, as far as bigger names, Of course, there's people I would work with, but I don't have like a list of like I want to work with this person. I really want to work with this. It's more so just as I become friends with people and we get along naturally, you know, then we will do something that, you know, just it makes sense. If we could be like we get along on a personal level and, you know, our styles would sound good together, then we'll do something, you know, but I don't have like a checklist or anything like that.
So you prefer a more organic approach to that kind of stuff?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, see, I'm a whore for a celebrity.
I mean, but it's just, it can be, it sometimes it does feel like, you know, it's, people can tell if someone just got like a paycheck for a feature.
Yeah.
Especially with rap, like, it's like, okay, you're like on autopilot and I can tell. Or like, I've seen rappers, I'm not going to say names, but I've seen rappers like known guys, especially at least in the underground, or like, give out they'll sell the same verse to multiple jabronis. Like, it'll be like different, whatever, MC shithead, whatever, will buy their verse. And it's the, I heard this on another song. Like, it's just messy.
Yeah. So there are rappers who are doing that now, like selling feature packages. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fucking, bro, gross.
I mean, I guess it's different for interviews. Because it's like the more every time we get somebody that I'm stoked about, I get real fucking, I get like a little kid or like a puppy that just found a second dick, like just fucking running around spinning circles and shit.
A puppy that just found a second dick? Is that an expression?
Yeah, it's like from the South. I'm as excited as a puppy with two Peters.
What?
You ever heard that? It's like in a movie or something.
There's no way that's a real saying.
I swear to God. I think it's in the, I'm not exaggerating this. I think it's in the movie City Slickers.
I mean, I if it ain't, guy, when he finds, it is when now.
When he comes back, he comes back with the
camera. I'm definitely working that in naturally in the conversation whenever possible.
When Billy Crystal gets the cattle back, the guy goes, I'm about as happy as a puppy with two Peters. I think that's the exact line.
Wow.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Wow,
your Google, you want to be on Safe Search.
Yeah, I'll be all right. City Slickers quotes. I just put in a puppy with two. I feel as happy as a puppy dog with two Peters. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. But the way that you phrased it, like a puppy finding a second dick, I was like, what?
Okay,
where is it finding dicks?
Oh, I see what you guys were saying. You think you're picking it up and shit.
Yeah, right? there's like a part of the forest with buried dicks everywhere.
It's a weird version of Homeward Bound. The dogs are talking to each other, but they find a fucking dick instead.
There's just dicks everywhere in these woods.
You mean a buried dick forest? There's not just like dicks. There's other stuff.
So I've got a video coming out soon.
Nice. Great segue.
Nah, I mean, if you guys want to stay on puppy dicks, you know, that's
the name of the video, right? Puppy dicks.
Like, that's crazy, but I was working on this new song.
You call it puppy. The wrong people are gonna.
Yeah, you get some kind of press. It ain't gonna be good press, but it's gonna be press. Like,
you get recognized somewhere. They're like, "Oh shit, that's the puppy dick song guy."
Oh no.
Please don't do that.
I hope that never. I am. If that happens to you formally right now for the podcast, I will apologize to you. Anyone that hears this,
it's 100%. And I just want to point out, this is 100% on Jimmy because I didn't even believe that was in the movie.
I didn't either.
So, I've got a fucking, when it comes to the line,
I was the puppy dicks.
When it comes to puppy dicks, I got a photographic memory. No,
Jesus.
When it comes Christ. To lines in movies, I'm telling you, I could watch a movie once and remember half the fucking movie in my head. Sad.
Yeah, I've never had. I'm bad at that. My memory's terrible unless it's like lyrics. Other than that, I'm bad with names. I'm bad with everything.
I feel
people
like
you tell me that, stories, and I was there, and I'll just be like, "Wow, that's interesting." They'll be like, "Hey, you were there."
You were right next to me.
So I'm remembering a movie. Forget about it. It's terrible.
Well, let me ask you something. That brings up something interesting. So I've seen a lot of debate recently online with some, because a lot of rappers are, I've noticed, touring as much as rock bands do now at this point, which is cool, but I've seen a lot of debate because some rappers, including some larger rappers, I won't say their names, are just rapping along to a fully pre-recorded song. Their vocals and everything are playing through the sound system, and they're literally just karaoke rapping to it. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think a vocal track should be there at a live show?
Most of the time, definitely not. Not a full vocal. It just doesn't sound good. This is a generational divide for the most part, I think. But I also see like super grown ass men doing that too. So I mean, it's just in my opinion, when I perform, I use what's called a performance track. So it's not. I'm not trying to sound pretentious. I know you guys know. Like, I'm just saying, like, it's like not. I'll never rap over the entire song, like the full song. It just sounds messy. You're never going to exactly replicate your exact tone from when you record. Like, it's just not going to sound good. So what I'll do is I might have hook vocals, especially if there's a singer on, and I'm not going to try to sing it myself. And if the singer's not there, but I might do that. And if there's a part in the song where it's like, I know I'm going to run out of breath at this part, I might have my engineer put in like the top of the line, one or two words. I'll catch my breath and go right back to it. So it's like, I'll do that, but that's just to enhance the show. But I think rapping, like you said, over a full track, which is what a lot of guys do, 9 out of 10 times, it's a bad look. The only time I've ever done it was when if I'm playing at like a large venue and the sound system is fucking up. And like my mic is just, the levels are not right. We either didn't get a sound check, or if we did, they already changed all this everything by the time I came on, so it didn't even matter. That's happened before. So in those times, I'll have my DJ will have the full tracks in the tuck if it's like a big room. Like when I played the TLA right before COVID on South Street in Philly, and it's like 1,000 cap room. And normally the sound there is good, but some was off that night. It was with this guy, Dave East, and the sound was cutting off. So I had a feeling it would happen. So I turned to my DJ and was like, we're going to switch to full tracks. You know what I mean? It worked. It did work, because if my vocals are getting drowned out by the beat, I'd rather just play the track so at least people can hear me. But that's the only type of situation where I'll do that. I just think it sounds shitty. It sounds like you're like battling yourself. Like it's like, and a lot of these guys do it because they can't remember the fucking words. That's also, let's be real. You know, and I don't have that problem. I take my craft very serious. Like, you know, I joke around, I make funny, goofy videos and stuff, but I can rap my fucking ass off. And I take it serious. And I feel like a lot of these guys don't, because they can't. They can't fucking rap. And when they do their live show, it's obvious when you hear that backing track the entire time. You know?
It's like that Spider-Man meme where Spider-Man is pointing at the other Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's the same shit.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of debate about that online recently. I've been to shows where it's been both ways. And sure. I agree with you where it sounds sloppy.
Right. It does. It just sounds like overcrowded, kind of. It's like, I could have just stayed home and streamed your music. Like, why am I here? You know what I mean? Like, I want to hear, I'll do like different little inflections. Sometimes I might change the lyric when I'm doing it live. I might, you know, do different things differently. And if you just play the track, what's the point of people coming to your live show?
Yeah, right.
You know, if you look at the big hip hop artists like a Kendrick, a Cole, even a Drake, doesn't often do a full track. Like most major hip hop artists, if they're, you know, I guess from the prior generation, which is what I call them. Kendrick, I've seen live multiple times. He's really rapping. Like he'll do what I do. He'll have like the hook in there and ad lib. You know what I mean? But other than that, it's really him, and it just makes the show so much more exciting to see the show live. You know what I mean? Because if someone fucks up, you know what I mean? Most of the time the crowd doesn't even notice, especially with rap. Like they're not even going to notice that you fucked up, especially if you were an opener like I was, like, and they don't even know your music. Like, so I just don't overthink it. I'd rather fuck up rapping and it's not even a big deal than have the track playing as a safety net that sounds like shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, for anybody who's going to be coming out to anything you might have coming up, is there any kind of merch available?
I actually, I do have merch available now. I am happy to say that I sold out of a lot of it, which is an amazing feeling. But if you go to at Who's Mike Voss on Instagram and you click the link in my bio, it's a link tree. So it'll have like links to stream my music and all that stuff. And if you scroll down a little, the MV store has I have some hats, some trucker hats, and a couple they call, you know, dad hats, they call them. Like a couple of those in my logo. And then the trucker hats are a limited edition. Like this is a trucker hats, this style. And it's just got my logo with the snakes around it. And it's got like a camo print. I designed them myself. I really fuck with those. We only have like 3 or 4 left. Yeah. And there's a bunch of merch on there, but as far as for the album, I'm working on shirts, possibly sweatpants. I want to get lighters. I want to get some lighters made. I feel like people sleep on getting lighters made. Right. And I'm going to steal Jimmy's idea to get a book published.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for the album, I want to do merch with the artwork, because the artwork for Ain't Nobody's Hero is crazy. And I think it's like very – it's definitely something I'd want to put on a shirt, sweatpants. You know what I mean? I might even do – the lighter might either be my logo or the painting from the album. But, yeah. I have a bunch of ideas for merch. I'm glad you asked about that. But in the meantime, if anyone listening wants to go on the MV store through my Instagram and check out what's on there, I got some posters. You know, I got like these fake movie posters for an EP I did last year that I still have some of, and a couple hats left. So while they're still up, if anyone wants them, I'll send them right to you.
Very nice. You mentioned the out. Oh, I'm sorry, Pete.
No, I was gonna say, I was checking it out while you were mentioning it. I'm a hat guy. I fucking love hats. The dad hats are legit. The trucker hats look cool as shit too. Like the design is awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I was peeping it. I was like, ooh.
Is that all you, boss, or is that all the arts you too?
Oh, I didn't. All right, so I drew the logo on a napkin one day. I changed my name. I used to just go by Voss, just my last name. And then that water company ruined everything.
I was just telling Mike that.
He was just talking about this.
So I was like, man, how do I go about this? Like, what's a way to like avoid this problem of when people Google Voss, it's all, you know, the fucking water company. So I was like, I'll just add my first name. Like it still works. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's like, it's only 2 syllables. Mike Voss, it rhymes with a lot of shit. I was like, I don't want to like do a fucking complete rebrand. I was like, I'm just gonna do that. And then now when you Google Mike Voss, a lot of it is me, which was the idea for the SEO. But then I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I need a new logo. I had a logo that was just a V, and I would just like, well, it was different. It was like a lot going on to it, but it doesn't matter. But I was just like, I want to have something different for Mike Voss, and I just drew that, like it's like a heart monitor type look.
Yeah,
and I just drew that on a napkin. I sent it to my graphic designer. His name's Mike Pipitone. He's very dope. He's also like a dope artist as well. He's a producer, and he does most of my graphics. So I sent him that, and I was like, can you bring this to life? And he's like, this is what do you call it? He was like, this is minimalism at its finest, he said. And I was just like, man, make it happen, please. And he just like, it's very simple, but it's like, I like stuff like that, like the Nike swoosh. You know what I mean? It's such a simple logo, but it just works. So I was just like, I want to have, you know, a version of that. So I guess technically it's both of us. Like, I drew it on a napkin, and then he, like, I don't know how to do graphic design. I just don't have the patience to learn. And it's like, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have that guy. You know, he's the best.
So you said, just in case you ever decide you need to find another, like, moniker, like to add on, kind of like what Method Man does.
Oh yeah, he does Johnny Blaze and all that.
You can feel free. I'll let you use my old rap name.
What's your old rap name?
Velosa Rapper.
Well, guys, great interview. See you guys.
I'm just saying, I won't get mad.
Yeah, I'll think about it, Jimmy.
It was Velosa Rapper. My one friend Devin, her name was Pterodactyl.
Oh my god!
Which I was like, "That's fucking great." And then my DJ was my buddy Marcus. He was Tyrannosaurus Flex. And I was like, yo,
that's it, dude. That's the best. Flex is crazy.
Flex is crazy. Tiny little spinning arms.
The album was Jurassic Park.
Yep.
I'm kind of mad that that's not a thing.
That's not what?
I said, I'm kind of mad that doesn't exist. Like, there's not an album that I can listen to.
Wish there was, man.
Yeah.
If we ever make a Jurassic Park, would you do a guest track on it?
What, with a Velociraptor and Pterodactyl and Tyrannosaurus Flex going to be involved? This is crucial.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Only if T-Flex is there. This is it.